This morning's scripture reading comes to us from the Gospel according to John. I'll be reading from chapter 10, verse 1 through 10. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Here ends the reading. May God grant us wisdom and courage for interpretation. Let me ask you a question. When you go to the grocery store, have you ever noticed something in the meat department called free-range chicken? An odd question, isn't it? The first time I heard the phrase free-range chicken, I had to scratch my bald head and wonder what these chickens' lives might look like. Since I'm not a vegetarian, my first concern was whether their taste might be superior to chickens who live their lives mostly in solitary confinement. Perhaps I wondered if these free-range chickens were given unlimited room to roam the free range, that they would live happier lives and thus die with a hint of a smile running across their beaks and perhaps taste more delicious than chickens raised in solitary confinement. All joking aside, I did a little research on free-range chickens. Apparently, free-range chicken as an industry is a term that widely varies in its meaning and adaptation. In very few cases are free-range chickens actually given free range. It's a lot of work to have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week free chicken running around, apparently. And so free-range chicken doesn't necessarily mean unrestricted access any place they want to go anytime. It just means that these chickens get at least some access to the outdoors as opposed to nearly no access that conventional chickens that we eat that aren't free-range chickens. The problem with having completely free-range chickens, as I alluded to, is that chickens left to roam the range completely freely do not generally live very long, since there are coyotes and foxes and bobcats and other varmints who also like the taste of chicken. And other large predatory animals also roam the range quite freely and apparently find chickens as delicious as I do. Chickens need a bit of a safety pen in order to find enough protection to live very long. Apparently, even free-range chickens. Well, that was the intent of the sheepfold gate in Jesus' day, too, that he was talking about right here in the 10th chapter of John. If sheep need a shepherd, they also need a sheepfold, a place to go where they're safe. The image of a spiritual leader as the shepherd is quite familiar to us from the Bible, and it calls to mind the resonant words of the 23rd Psalm of Jesus and also of the Old Testament, using the shepherd metaphor. But here in the 10th chapter of John, he says puzzlingly, "I am the gate for the sheep." This image is much less poetic than "I am the light of the world, the bread of life, or even the true vine, a gate, seems so ordinary, so functional. And there has to be a gate, I suppose, in the sheepfold. The sheepfold was a walled enclosure in this time in which this New Testament was written that provided protection from wolves and other animals of prey. The enclosure also contained the door of the sheepfold, an opening for the sheep to come in and go out. It was at this opening that the shepherd would literally and physically in this time lay their bodies across the doorway, the threshold. And the shepherd would also inspect each sheep as it passed under the rod at the door of the sheepfold. In the morning, the shepherd would call his sheep and they would exit the fold because they knew the shepherd's voice. Sometimes, when flocks of sheep would be mingled together because shepherds were staying together and utilizing one pen and just kind of let their sheep mingle. Sounds like a party, doesn't it? Each shepherd would call for their own sheep with their own distinctive call, and so they might have a certain way that they called their sheep that was a little bit different than everyone else's. Maybe we could come up with our own ideas, practice on our kids or grandkids. The sheep lift up their heads, usually when they would hear their shepherd call, their distinctual call, and after a general scramble, each would kind of follow their own shepherd out of the gate. They are thoroughly familiar, you see, with their own shepherd's tone of voice and the way that their shepherd would call for them. Strangers have often used the same call, but their attempts to get the sheep to follow them would usually fail because the sheep had spent enough time with their own shepherd to recognize a counterfeit. Now, this gate also suggests a way to move towards God. In other places in the scripture, in the Hebrew scriptures, Psalm 118, verse 19 through 20 says, "Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it." The sheepfold is a place of protection and safety for the sheep. Jesus is the gate, also the shepherd, and in that role, he is the entryway to and from the fold, the source of protection for the sheep. Interestingly, Jesus doesn't say, "I am the gate keeping the sheep in and the goats out." He doesn't announce that he's the gate so the good sheep can come in and the bad sheep have to stay outside the fold. Faith traditions, it seems, have an investment in guarding the gate. Let's just be honest. But what are we guarding the gate for? Are we keeping the sheep penned in and living a narrow kind of faith? Or are we keeping them safe so they can flourish and grow in their faith and go on to in turn become under shepherds, caretakers, nurturers for other sheep? The gate can be a place of welcome, or apparently the gate can be a place of worry. For Jesus, the gate creates a safe haven. It's not a way to leave anyone out. Following him and letting him be the gate sets us free from thinking about who should be in and who should not. Who's in, who's out. Friends, it's not our job to tend the gate. It's our job to give people space, to love people, to lead people to safe pastures, not to select who is an eligible sheep for any particular flock, inside or outside of any pen. I'm suggesting that we practice free-range Christianity and let others be free-range people. The truth is, we already have certain boundaries we draw around our particular pet peeves, hobby horses, whatever you want to call it. Following Jesus and letting him be the gate sets us free from thinking about who should be inside the fold and who should not. It's just not our job to tend the gate like that. And you know, as nice as an accepting congregation as we are, and as we like to think that we are, the truth is that In every congregation, some people are more welcome than others, even though we would never want to say that. This congregation, we would never mean to leave anyone out, but let's be honest, juggling the printed bulletin and the hymnal in the other hand creates a little bit of a barrier for some people, if they weren't raised doing that. With all three of the denominations that we affiliate at a national level, the United Church of Christ, the Disciples of Christ, the Presbyterian Church, USA, all three welcome and even ordained into ministry, for example, all persons, regardless male or female, or even their sexual orientation. But the truth is, we're quiet about that in Weatherford, Oklahoma. We've been quiet because it's easier to be quiet than to have a few of our own sheep disagree and fight in the sheep pen and lose someone from our fold. But I wonder how many our silence has kept from coming in. We would never intentionally create obstacles for folks to see us as a safe place in Weatherford and the surrounding communities, but every congregation, every flock, the truth is, every fold by their culture communicates to those outside the gate, either implicitly or explicitly, how safe or how dangerous of a place it is inside the gate. Now, we understand well the image of Jesus as the good shepherd and of ourselves as the sheep, but we rarely talk about the sheepfold, the church, as a place of safety. And I don't think we come by it by our own evil intention at all. We come by it through a long line of church history where churches, quite honestly, like to play gatekeeper. That's what churches and Christians do when left to our own devices. From the earliest of our lives together, that's what we've done. And when we play gatekeeper, we end up spending time and energy deciding who's in and who's out. Did you know that some of the earliest creeds were written for the purpose of not just having something nice to say when you're in church, but determining who could be a member and who could not, based on if you could agree with the creed or if you could not, if you had to cross your fingers behind your back when you said it, or if you could do it with a straight face? It's true. Even the creeds, many of them were litmus tests. And so the church, whether using doctrine, in this case mental assent to certain propositional truths about God or Jesus, while they were deciding who was in and who was out. Churches even do this with the kind of music churches sing in worship services. Well, we're one of these traditional churches. Well, we're one of these contemporary churches. Well, we're one of these flavor of the month churches, and we're one of these, well, frozen chosen churches. We do this with social issues as well. The United Methodist Church in the United States, like many denominations, the tradition to which I come from you, recently in the news has been struggling with the question of who belongs in the fold, who can be a shepherd. The church's polity says that the practice of homosexuality is incompatible with Christian teaching, and goes on to say that self-avowed practicing homosexuals cannot be ordained as ministers or appointed to serve. Outside the church walls, it doesn't bar people from leadership of Apple or Facebook or PayPal or Rocket Entertainment or Burberry or even the Golden State Warriors basketball team. Bishop Karen Olivito, you see, was the first openly gay bishop in the United Methodist Church and has been the subject of a hearing in the Methodist Church's highest court to determine whether being a lesbian bars her from serving as a bishop. The Methodist Church's highest court ruled a week ago Friday that the denomination's first openly gay bishop is a violation of church law, barring the ordination of self-practicing homosexuals, but they did not remove her as bishop. Instead, they sent the issue back to the jurisdiction that chose her, and so the College of Bishops in the Western jurisdiction of the United States will have to hold a church trial for her all over again. And they're being forced to choose, because they've placed themselves in the position, who's in and who's out. Position that, according to the scriptures, should only be used by Jesus. But churches like to take over gatekeeper duties. It provides us with a sense of control. Sadly, it provides a whole lot of judgment and has done great harm for our witness in the world. And when Jesus talks about the sheep, he says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. The abundant life he's talking about comes out of a deep care for the sheep. All sheep, black sheep, white sheep, stray sheep, gate sheep, you name it. And nurturing and tending to the sheep. And Jesus lies down near the gate to keep all the sheep safe and invites us to use the gate for welcome, not judgment. When churches get it right, they throw the gate wide open and trust that Jesus tends it and runs out into the pasture, letting roaming sheep know the safety and the acceptance and the nurture and the love that they can find down in the sheep pen by way of the gate kept by Jesus himself, not by us. Sheep don't run the gate. Sheep just make known the incredibly powerful truth that the gate is wide open and that whosoever will may come. We have to let go of the fearful practice of guarding the gate, church. It is not the job of the sheep to self-select our own herd. Those worthy of our company and those who really should go someplace else because it makes us uncomfortable in our little corner of the pen. It is this selectivity that has caused the massive decline of churches and given churches and Christians a well-deserved bad reputation. Evangelical writer Ed Stetzer argued recently that mainline Protestant churches like ours need more of a sheepfold mentality. I got excited when I read that part at first until I went on a little further. And Stetzer said that he came a little further into the article. He gets it partially correct. And then he goes on and he said, he kind of woke readers up with the news that, in fact, if the current decline in mainline Protestant churches continue, mainline Protestantism has about 23 years left as we know it. He added, the news of mainline Protestantism's decline is hardly new, yet the trend lines are showing a trajectory towards zero in both those who attend a mainline church regularly and those who identify with a mainline denomination 23 years from now. While the sky isn't falling, the truth is, he said, the floor is dropping out. Now, I agree with Stetzer on the 23-year timeline if you look at the sheer numbers of the way things are going and the death rate and the lack of young people coming in. But when I read only half the article, I felt hopeful, like Stetzer was going to offer us something valuable, but instead he took a more predictable turn and went back to the past, a less hope-filled turn, and suggested that what the church really needs to succeed and to grow is to draw more distinct boundaries between ourselves and the culture around us. He said, why even bother go to church if it's the same as the world around it? So he urges a return to the past. For him, for Stetzer, a thriving church would be a sheepfold with clearly defined doctrinal beliefs, offering a refuge from the culture around us. The sheepfold would be sharply different from the outside world, not because it was safe, but because it was clearly defined and separate. Now that sounds good at first to those of us who have been raised around enough church where we've seen folks keeping folks in and folks out with a gatekeeper kind of mentality. But the only problem is, it is not true to the shepherding picture that Jesus paints for us here in John's Gospel. John's Gospel puts Jesus in charge of the gate and the pasture, something sheep are incapable of doing, something sheep should steer completely clear of. And when sheep run in the gate, it terrifies those who would otherwise join us inside the sheepfold because they recognize the truth that we've blinded ourselves to, that we're doing a job when we try to play gatekeeper that we should never have tried to do. We were brought up to be sheep. Free-range Christian sounds better than free-range sheep, doesn't it? But that's what we're called to be. And we're called to allow others to be free-range humans. And it's only in respecting and loving people for who they are and who we are that we can ever be better than we are today. Truth is, there are no perfect churches. There are no perfect Christians. There are no perfect pastors. We have work to do as a church to let others know that this is a safe place to be. And I want to ask you to ask yourself this morning, do the people in my life know that I am open to loving them and accepting them unconditionally? Do you make it known in word and deed, or are you assuming that others will just know how you feel from your pretty smile? We sheep have to get the word out to other sheep that we're free range sheep. Free range Christians are hard to distinguish from gatekeeping Christians from a distance. You see, too many folks outside the sheep pen have experienced wolves in sheep clothing, folks who look like sheep, but they've got teeth at the gate. They decide who's in and who's out. It's not up to others to learn how great we are, how loving we are. If we follow the teachings of Jesus, it's up to us to show that we are Christians by our love, by our refusal to judge, to discriminate, to decide who gets in and who gets out. Remember, that's not our job. It's up to us to celebrate the diversity of all God's sheep. It's up to us to tear down barriers between people and God. As a friend of mine used to say, we want to make it easy for God to get to people and people to get to God. It's up to us to do the hard work of reminding each other occasionally that it's not our job to operate the gate and decide who's in or who's out. And this is really hard work. It's because we've forgotten that the gate isn't there to keep any sheep out. It's there to provide safe entry into a family of free-range Christians who respect the right of sheep outside the pen and inside the pen to choose when they come and go, and where they come from and where they go to. I don't think we can continue just to coast along as a church family, dear ones, hoping that people will notice that we're just not that kind of mean church. I think we've got work to do to prove it to our community. Christians, I do not think it is enough to just be a nice person and hope others know that we'll accept them for who they are by the fact that at least we aren't mean about our religion. It's up to us to go a step further. It's up to us to show by our actions that it is because of our faith that we might even fight for the right of other sheep, other people of other faith or no faith at all, to have the freedom to be most fully who they feel they are to be, to go where they feel they are to go, whether they are part of our church family or not, to love all the sheep all the time in all the ways we can. May we be a church, and may we be free-range Christians who embrace the words of the great shepherd in our daily lives who said, I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and they will go out and find pasture. In the name of the shepherd who leaves the door of freedom open for all and calls us to do the same.